Welcome to your mom's house with your hosts, Tom Segura and Christina Pajitsky.
Mom?
Pull up your jeans, boy. Pull them up tight. Put your head up in shit. I live your whole life blind.
Bite!
Next stop, round talk. You better wipe down. Don't hesitate to listen to the mommies with the crown. Oh, wipe down. Or is it wipe up? Oh my god, seriously, fill her up and seal her shut. Oh yeah, and that's gooder than a bitch. I be flossing my teeth, 28 inch rim. My teeth be all be shining, man, hunky ass white. Who just bought it? Was that the old man? All I know,
bite!
Hey buddy, guess who it is, man? It be top dog, spread the knowledge all about the shits. Mommy T and Mommy C, flexing all the goodest guests. Watching clips and talking shit, the mommy is the best. But I want to say this once before the show, man. Mommy's for life, fuck being a bro, yo.
Yeah.
It's a nice song.
You like that, James?
I did. It's one of the very first submissions we ever got.
No. This was?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah. Wasn't this? One of the first few songs that we ever played
when
from
a
listener.
When we started requesting songs?
Yeah.
Maybe after our request, but not one of the first submissions. Because people submitted songs before we even asked for them.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Very, very exciting that we have a live podcast this Friday, November 22nd, at the Ice House in Pasadena, in the room called Stage 2 there. It's a smaller room. They've done a lot of podcasts there. It's a great, great club and a great room. So we very much hope that if you're in the area, you'll make your way to the Ice House on Friday for our podcast. We couldn't be happier to be doing it there. And of course, we have mentioned this before, but we'd like to mention it again. Anybody can watch this podcast streaming live on Laughster. So if you go to Laughster, which is LAFFSTER, Laughster.com, you sign up for an account, you can stream the show live. In addition to that, we have some really cool prizes for people that are willing to bid. Some of the prizes include appearing on the show, getting a special gift from us, and anybody that bids on these gifts will be donating money to the Wounded Warriors Project.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very exciting. We hope that you guys will participate and get involved in that. What else? Well, I have the Largo show tonight, if you are listening the moment this comes out. I'm at Largo tonight with some of the other people from All Things Comedy. Bill Burr, Ryan Sickler, a couple other people. But anyways, I'm very excited about that. Then, in a week or so, is that right? I'm going to be with who is it? Joey Diaz. Joey Coco Diaz in both at the Calusa Casino and then in Eugene, Oregon. It's December 6th and 7th, so that's in a couple weeks. And I'm very much looking forward to that. And then New Year's in Washington, D.C. With my jeans, doing a bunch of shows, including New Year's Eve. And by the way, the live podcast on Friday is at 8 p.m. Doors are open at 7. What you got, Jeans?
All right, Jeans. The 22nd with you. I can't wait. This is Friday. It's going to be huge. And also random, Marilyn Rice Cub You might know her from the show 24 if you're a fan of that, but she's also been a comedian, and she was on the show Mr. Show. Very funny. She and I have written a show together, and we're going to be doing it December 8th at the Improv in Hollywood. That's the Melrose Improv, December 8th, so get your tickets to that. It's a very unique show. She and I cover all the awesome advice shows out there, like the Dr. Phil's and the Dr. Laura's. So that should be pretty rad. And also, right, December 5th, San Diego, with my jeans doing the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
December 19th through 27th, the Atlanta Punchline, Atlanta, Georgia. And then New Year's Eve with my jeans.
Yeah.
And then that's our year. Can you believe it?
It's crazy. It's crazy. By the way, let me throw out there that the theater that I'm doing with Joey Diaz in Eugene, Oregon, is the McDonald Theater, the historic McDonald Theater.
Will they be handing out cheeseburgers?
Cheeseburgers, fries. I just pulled it up. So that's December 7th. December 6th is the Calusa Casino.
Oh.
So that's that. All right. Is there anything else you have? No?
No.
You're gonna put that down, you think, for the show?
No.
All right. Well, listen, everybody. This episode of Your Mom's House is brought to you by Stamps.com. The holiday's almost here. You don't have time to go to the post office. There's traffic. There's parking. It will be packed with everyone mailing holiday gifts and packages. So do what we do. Use Stamps.com instead. With Stamps.com, you can avoid all the hassles of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Print postage for any letter or package. The instant you need it, then the mailman picks it up right from your house. It's easy and convenient. We use Stamps.com, and we're very happy with the results.
Mm-hmm.
What are we saying? We're saying you should use Stamps.com as well. Here's our special offer, and you can get it right now. You use our promo code MOM. That's MOM, M-O-M. It's a
easy
no-risk
enough.
Trial. It's so easy, right? You got a $110 bonus offer. You get that cool digital scale. You get a chance to use up to $55 in free postage. So you really get to give it a shot. You know?
Yeah, it's a no-risk trial. You can't lose.
Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, if you want to mail me a new PS4, you could download this, get this special offer.
What is
offer.
A PS4? Is that like an athletic equipment?
Uh-huh, a new athletic gear called the PlayStation 4 just came out. They sold a million on the first day.
Is this for children or for grown-ups?
It's for everybody. I can't believe you knocked that so hard. If you want to get that for me, you can... you can buy it, and then you can get the special offer from Stamps.com. You can weigh it on the digital scale, and then you can get the postage there and free, and you can ship it to me. I think that sounds like a pretty good deal.
That's a great
deal. So, do what we do. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in M-O-M. That's Stamps.com. Enter M-O-M. What do you think, Jeans?
I think it was really neat when you were reading that Theo was crawling around in your section of our office and stepping on trash and miscellaneous items of litter.
Mm-hmm.
It's always
so
neat
messy in
to
here.
Hear your dog get lost in your trash room.
There's so much mess. We got to clean this up.
My life's a mess right now.
I know.
Our lives are a fucking mess.
God damn it.
Well, what a fucking day. Jesus Christ.
I know. You ready to start this show?
Yeah.
Let's do it, man. Oh, wait, I got to start it over. God damn it. It is one of those days.
Not a good one. What's the date so I can never live it again? Never remember.
Never remember today. Mm. Shit.
It has gone down.
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone mother to this.
Your mom in the fucking stand!
Welcome to your mom's house with Tom Segura, and
Christina Pajitsin.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Sounded like Tyson fighting. Was that like a boxing match? We heard?
That was a highlight from the 1991 bout between Mike Tyson and Mitch Green. Did you enjoy
or
it?
Something else.
Yeah, we'll get to that something else in just a moment. First of all, how was Fartford this weekend? Why don't we ask that?
Actually, Farford was way more delightful than I had anticipated.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of mommies came out, brought me wine, brought me books, brought me all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Shows were pretty decent with the exception of like one when I talk about my mother in my act.
Huh. Yeah, I had a similar thing, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I mentioned that I don't get along with my mom and why, and there's this very fat woman in the audience clearly not liking me the entire time, mm-hmm. judging me really from the moment I got up there. I could hear her chattering like, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, it's out of care. I'll get crazy. I can hear
Chinese
her.
Chinese lady?
Clearly, yes. A Thai mm-hmm. or Indian. I'm not sure. Maybe mm-hmm. from Bali. Oh, she's crazy. I can't believe that. And when I get to my mother, she was very judgy. Oh, hell no. Oh, no. And I was like, you know what? You came into my house, all right? Mm-hmm. Your mama's in my fucking stance. I didn't come into your house, take your remote control.
Right.
Wearing the same shit you got on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you can go. And then she and her whole table got up and left.
Really?
And yeah, I mean, that happens.
It does happen. It happens all the time. I mean, people don't realize how many shows we do, how many audiences. Like, this shit is not, it's not like the one, most people go to like one probably live performance maybe in a month or every few months. Like, this is a almost nightly for us. So it's not mm-hmm. it's not unusual to run into shows like that every once in a while.
Happens.
It happens, yeah.
It happens. What doesn't happen a lot mm-hmm. is maybe what happened to you this week.
Yeah. So I think this may come as there's probably people that it's going to come as a big surprise to. We have a nice amount of listeners in the Winnipeg area. And it may come as a shock to people that came to see me on Tuesday or on Wednesday, or on Thursday, or on Friday, or even second show Saturday, who we all had a good time, you know, mm-hmm. shows. I can't complain at all about those shows. So this might be a little bit of a shocker to them. But first show Saturday was one of those shows where normally I would go back to it and be like, you know, in some of the moments I've been like, oh, this is just going to be one of those shows. It's going to have some kind of hectic moments. I never imagined it would spin out of control the way that it did.
Right.
I listened to it a couple times. It is so uncomfortable at so many moments. And surprisingly, it actually was going fairly well. And there was some tension, and I could tell that I wasn't that audience's cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
But
which sometimes you're just not.
You're just not. And there's something that should be said about this particular show. This club, like a lot of clubs, certainly during certain seasons, sometimes they'll get in massive groups. Mm-hmm. And that really throws off the what we're used to as far as in a regular comedy club night is that people from all walks of life get together, they buy tickets to a show, and they watch comedy, right?
Right.
And everyone's there basically, for the most part, on their own with one or two other people.
Mm-hmm.
So you get this mix up. When you get like in the holiday season, sometimes there's Christmas parties, or what this club does, they have a lot of fundraiser type events where a group can be like, hey, we want to have like, we have a special cause. It can be like whatever, Habitat for Humanity. and we have 70 people that are going to be there. And then that group is represented as a group of 70, and they're raising money for their special occasion, and then afterwards they have a raffle. It's just the event of comedy is there basically as a substitute for.
Right, whereas they could just be having a luncheon, they decide to plug you in.
Right, and they don't know really who they're seeing or whatever.
They don't care.
They don't care, and they also feel like, oh, this is our event.
Yeah, you're
stepping
in. They
feel like the entire thing is their event.
Yeah, you're stepping into their
right
world. Like, right. I once did a woman's Valentine's Day lunch, like at a country club. It was these cunty, white, entitled, rich. Did I say cunts enough?
Yeah.
Cunts. And it was 2 in the afternoon in the valley here. And they're like, do you want to do stand-up? And I'm like, how much does it pay? Oh, okay. And I showed up and they were so rude. They were talking on their phones, getting up. Mm-hmm. And they could care less.
Yeah.
That's the problem when you do these private parties.
Yeah. And the thing is, I don't know. I think I'm just doing a regular Saturday night show.
Well, they don't even tell you?
Well, I mean, you find out that like there are these massive groups there. But it's not like I signed up to do a private show.
Right.
I signed up to do a Saturday night show at a comedy club. Oh, hey, there's a group of 50 from this thing and a group of 70 for that. And each of them feels like this is our private entertainment. Like, mm-hmm. we came to this, you better be good. Like that kind of thing, as opposed right. to like, I'm going to watch stand-up
tonight. To watch comedy, the intent yeah. being, we're going to see a stand-up show.
Right. Yes. So I listened to this and I was really trying to be honest about all aspects of it. Honest about myself, honest about what was going on there. And I really feel like there are three components to a show actually going either very well or very poorly. Mm-hmm. And the three components are the audience, the performer, and the venue and how they're running that at mm-hmm. the moment. Those are the three things. Mm-hmm. When all those gel extraordinarily well, you might have an amazing show.
Yes.
And then when all those don't go well for whatever reason at that thing, mm-hmm. that moment, it can go extremely, extremely poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like everybody, the three components, hold some fault in all of this falling apart.
Mm.
Number one, I blame the audience because these were such fucking assholes,
mm-hmm.
such shitty people.
Mm-hmm.
It was full of dummies and fucking assholes.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I mean, you can hear, like, you can tell that's like, there's a lot of people that are probably in there, not to say that anybody in this age group is an asshole, but they had that, like, we're older and, you know, you're just a jerk.
You're kinda a whippersnapper?
Yeah. Like, there was a lot of, like, that kind of thing. I felt like this audience was comprised mostly of people that, you know, don't like.
Right. Didn't like you from the jump.
From the jump.
There's a lot of people, audience members, who believe you should be exactly like them.
Yes.
And if you're not, they're not interested in anything you have to say.
Yeah. So there's those horrible groups. And there's a group, basically the two worst groups are that there's a group in the very front and a guy who's in the very, very front. And I could tell he was giving like a little bit of lip to whoever was before me. And then when I get up there, in the first few minutes, I say a joke. And then he's one of these people who's tagging your stuff, but in the front row. So it's like for his table, but it's also like for you to hear what he has to say. And I'll admit right now, I hated him so much so quickly that's where I bear a lot of the responsibility. Mm-hmm. I couldn't diffuse my hatred and make it
mm-hmm.
like really comedy. And that's one of the things I feel like I've learned to do and worked on, and obviously I have not mastered, is that when you hate somebody's guts,
yeah, it's tough.
If you get angry, it goes downhill. If you can try to make it funny, you can salvage that right. moment. So,
well, because the guy's intent, what they do when they try to out-joke you or tag your shit at the table is he's trying to make his big bigger than yours. He's right. flexing on you.
Right.
That's the dynamic happening.
Yeah.
Stand-up comedy is about power. It is about you the leader, the stand-up comedian, wielding the power in the room mm-hmm. and the audience giving their power to you.
Right.
Now, when some jerk-off decides he's going to subvert the power paradigm, that's when you're in for trouble.
Well, here we have, this is the first instance.
Yeah.
Or don't think about it. Just know that it's on your hands. What's that?
I said, know that it's on your balls.
Know that what's on my balls?
The dirty birds. That they never washed.
You know that those are on my balls?
That's right.
Why did you fucking have to throw that away? You just added nothing to the show.
Just like that.
Just like Dawson's Creek? Yeah, no. All right, we'll just move it along.
What
is he saying?
You can't really make out what he's saying.
So
just to like put that within context. So I say something, just know that's on your hands, right? It's a joke about wiping my balls on.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes.
And then he goes, so anyways, and you hear the people, like, it's still like.
Right. It's still light.
It's still kind of
manageable.
He's like, just know that it's on your hands
mm-hmm.
or know that it's on your balls. And I go, what's on my balls? The curtains, the ones that they don't wash. And I'm like, okay, why did you just, and so that's when I say, I go, why did you just say that out loud? You just added nothing to the show.
Yeah.
And you can hear people laughing. It's still like not super, like it's not a disaster yet, but I could tell you for sure, like listening to it and remembering that I hated his guts.
Mm-hmm.
Right then I wanted to punch him in the mouth. I hated him. So I accept how much I hated him and wanted him to die
mm-hmm.
and how that is literally how this is beginning. This is how the train is starting to come off the tracks, mm-hmm. okay, is that. And so this guy is doing this throughout for the first, let's say, this is probably in minute number two or three, through the first 12, 13 minutes, I'm hearing him on other moments that like there's just too much to play, but like where I'm not no longer acknowledging him because I know that's kind of the thing is mm-hmm. like, hey, acknowledge this guy. But just so you know, that's what's building.
Right.
Is that the next joke I say, he's like, well, no, no. So I can hear him like again and again and again, right?
It's the worst.
The next moment where things start to kind of, I think, are weird is I do a joke about being entitled, having a sense of entitlement. And I've never, it's kind of indicative of the room. When I get to like the punchline, the joke is one of those jokes that just works. Like people understand the intent. And I think you can hear their response.
Picture off of the back for you guys. Really? You never feel fucking entitled ever? All right.
So it like when I got to the line about it, that bombed. But there also was like a negative, like, oh,
they're
like,
judging
the way, and they didn't understand that the sense of entitlement is like I'm making fun of my own in a right. moment sense of entitlement. Like I'm not saying I'm better than you guys. I'm saying I have these moments.
Right. But all they hear is I'm better than you guys.
Yes.
Because now the tide is turning.
But also because I feel like they're dummies. Like it's not,
yes.
it's not clicking.
Yes. Sometimes okay. people only hear a word. They don't
yes.
put it in context. They don't think it through.
Okay. This is where shit starts to really collapse. Mm. So I don't know, three quarters of the way through a bit, and then it's so loud at a table that I try to talk to them. I knew before going on that one of the fundraisers was a dog rescue place, and I was like, oh, I'll just know that because obviously I support that idea, you know? I start talking to this really loud table. You'll see where it goes.
On here. Will you shut the fuck up? What are you doing? Right? What are you doing?
I just went to the bathroom.
Not you, stupid.
While you're looking at me, you're making eye contact.
I'm not making eye contact with you.
Well, you're looking, you know.
In the direction of all the voices, you mean?
I see. Trying to be nice.
Who's trying to be nice?
Me?
Dude.
Mike, wait.
This is the end of your road right now. Is this the fundraiser table?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one?
All of us.
Dogs.
No, no. Dogs?
Cats?
Okay. Maybe fucking put your face in the bowl like a dog and stop talking, okay? What the fuck? Look, I love dogs. I rescued a dog this year. This year I rescued a dog. I love that fucking dog. Way more than your table. What'd you say? What'd you say? Hey, stupid, what'd you say?
I don't answer to stupid.
You don't answer to stupid?
That's right.
Yeah? Are you a tough guy? Who are you? Are you not?
We can see.
We're gonna see. He's gotta go. He's gotta go.
Well, he was ready to challenge.
Yeah, and that's the guy, by the way. That's the guy who I'm having problems with. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So he was talking under, keep the mumbling going. So when I go, what'd you say? Because I know what he fucking said.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I go like, what'd you say, stupid? He's like, I don't answer to that. And then he likes a little, wants to challenge me, like, let's fight. So I was like, how about this? You're out of here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, by the way, not that weird to do.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Here is where I have to blame the club.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't back me up.
Mm-mm.
They fucking let the guy stay.
That's when
everything fucking
terrible.
Terribly falls apart. So let's pull up. I think we got, okay.
We're gonna see. He's gotta go. He's gotta go. You gotta leave. He's done.
And they're supporting you.
Well, it sounds like they're supporting me. That's like the very few people at that particular show that like are fans.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making, which I appreciate, obviously, that they're applauding that.
Mm-hmm.
But this other group that's all around him, everybody's like, what?
Right, and you can see, he's such a cool guy.
Yeah, he's such an awesome
guy.
Yeah. So then you can hear them come up here.
Go. It's over. For real. Non-negotiable. He's got to go.
This guy
right here. Out.
If he leaves, we all leave.
That's fine with me. It's over.
So they go, if he leaves, we all leave. That's his table. His table's like, that's not the entire group, but that's his table of like, let's say 15. I go, that's cool. Like, mm-hmm. You can all leave.
It's not happening.
Who's booing? That table?
People all around are booing.
Oh my God.
Relax, man. Right. Gotta go.
Everybody's birthday here, so.
What does that have to do with this? What? What are you
doing?
Nah, that's weird.
See, he goes, he's gonna be quiet for the rest of the show.
Oh boy.
And I'm like at this point, how can I do stand up to
you
this?
You can't.
Like, it's just, it's a lost cause at this point.
Yeah,
right?
It's gone. Now, and who says he's going to be quiet? Who says
that?
The
club says that.
Oh, boy.
And they're like, he's going to behave.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, dude, that's why I go, this is weird. Like, how
problem
am I supposed to?
Problem number one.
Yeah, I can't really continue.
That's problem number one.
Because what?
No.
Shut the fuck up.
That guy goes, do your show, get on with it. And I'm like,
fuck you.
Right?
I'm totally cool with that. Hey, where's the black guy?
See? They're like, bring back the black guy. That's my my feature act was a black
so
guy.
Racist.
Really
oh
nice
God.
Guy. Really funny, named Trix.
Right.
So they're saying, like, bring him back. And you can hear them break into a like, they're already like, fuck you, man. Right? That's the applause for that idea.
I've had weirder shows. No doubt. Okay.
I'll carry on your show.
No.
So then the guy goes, another guy, I mean, there's all different people. This guy's like, carry on with your show. And I go, no, Like, you don't tell me when the show carries
on. Yeah, what
on.
Is he? Not the fucking right. dictator.
Back the show. We can bring the black guy back. It's fine. He's totally fine.
Now, I was saying that there with no intention of bringing him back at this point. Right? I'm like, oh, yeah, we can bring him back.
More awkward. What do you think?
Jokes.
Sir, it's such a weird show right now. I feel like I walked in on a fucking...
Walk through your stick.
There's no fucking stick, asshole.
That's a problem.
Oh my god.
That's kind of funny. He's like, do your shtick, and I'm like, there's no shtick, asshole. He goes, that's the problem.
Oh my god.
Those are like, that's literally.
All right, there's not that much more time. We can get through this.
Now I'm lying there too. There's so much more time, and that's obviously people have said we like you, Tom. That's like a very, very small group.
Can I tell you? I know exactly what happened. The guy was subverting your power.
Yes.
You called him out. You tried to handle it on your own, and then when you said, "All right, it's time to go," and management, instead of going, absolutely, Tom, you're the performer, whatever you need to keep going, instead of doing that and supporting the performer, they decided to support the drunk guy. So what happens is that the rest of the herd goes, oh, the guy up there who was supposed to have the power doesn't have the power. We have the power. And that's why you lost out. And also, it didn't give you a chance to move on.
Right.
Now, if that guy were, usually what happens is when a bad apple is extracted.
Then you go, let's start fresh.
Then you go, you address it, and you go, oh, isn't that better, everybody? And everybody claps, and now you're a unified team.
Yes.
The fact that management undercut you.
Yeah.
Is now that the power is all fucked up.
Yeah, I agree. And
you couldn't move on.
I agree.
Because there was no closure.
And I want to say, just to make a point about this, that it's like, it's a great club. It is a great club, and I really like the club. I like the staff a lot, but they are in error with how they handled that situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll be honest with you, because I didn't even tell them. I knew that then, and I knew that after the show, and I didn't want to address it. I didn't want to have that conversation.
Well, sometimes you're not ready. Sometimes
you're not ready.
It's too fresh.
It's too fresh, and I didn't want, like, there was so much bad energy already.
Yeah.
That I didn't want to bring it up. Like, I didn't want to bring up, hey, you guys really should have supported me when I said that.
Right, right.
But my point is really that I do feel like that is a great club and they're great people. And I just want to make that point. Like, I'm not trashing this club.
No, and I know that you're friendly with the guys there and the girls there. And that's totally,
a good place.
But
like I said, anybody that's listening that went to any other show will be like, what are you talking about? Like, the shows were fine. Like, they were great shows, which they were. But this particular thing went off the rails.
Yeah, because from a business perspective, from the perspective of the performer, if they're not protecting you, then what's the point?
Like, yeah, I mean, not every club does this, but sometimes when you go to a club, like the first day they'll go, oh, hey, how do you want us to handle, like, problem people? Mm-hmm. Like, I get asked that probably, I don't know, once a month when I get to a club. And I go, oh, like, you know, if somebody yells something out, that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, don't, you don't have to freak out. But I always go, if I say, this guy's got to go, or you got to go, I go, that's it. That means remove from the room. And it's always, like, backed up. No one's ever been like, no, you know?
That's what I'm saying. That's the problem.
That's the problem. Yeah. So anyways, here's the real problem, though. This shit that you're hearing right here, that this beginning of this disaster, that's 12 minutes in.
Oh my God.
And I look at I have the timer going and I'm like, oh my God. Because it already feels like 25 minutes.
Mm.
All right. So now let's say you're up there, right? And you're like, the only way to get through this, you either go, I'm going to fuck off for the rest of the time, or for a minute, I'm going to try to make this work.
Right.
So my first inclination is try to patch it together.
Mm-hmm.
I've had incidents with people that are in the audience where I go, you know, I have a conflict, and then I try to make amends. I try to go, all right, like, the only way to get forward is that we have to make nice.
Right.
So I try to do that with this guy for a moment, the asshole guy. I'm like, all right, let's just try to make this work.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So many people talking.
They're not behaving. There's nothing you can do.
Well, I guess I can tell you this. We're trying to move it along. Someone's phone's ringing. That's good. Your phone? That might add something to the show.
Oh my God, phone's ringing?
Good one. Why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? Seriously. Why don't we do this? Everybody, just relax. Me and the guy up front. You. What's your name? Seriously. What's your name?
Don't go.
You don't want to do this now?
Don't go. You were just going to get kicked out now. You want to?
Because it was a very tense moment, so I'm trying to put this together, right? No.
They're like refusing. They like won't say their name, and then they're like, just do your act. And I'm like, there's just no way.
There's no way you can.
Now I actually try to do stand up. I just go like, we're 15 minutes in. I'm like, I'm looking at a fucking long tunnel in front of me. Mm. I try to do stand up. Like I legit try for a minute, and it just is like people are just everybody's talking. I think I forget.
They won't even listen
at all.
That's the part is like you can't even salvage it because the phone's ringing and they're still chatting.
It sounds like we're in a bar, right?
And
like there's so much back talking.
Right, they're just so unwilling to even listen.
Yeah, it's
there's no way you can do your job.
No, it's pretty crazy.
When was? All right, we'll just do it.
Oh yeah, so then I just start talking because everybody's talking. I find individual people. And I'm like, what's your name? Where are you from? Like, just to, basically to kill time. You know?
This is so awkward. What's your name, ma'am?
Kim.
Yeah. Are you from here?
No.
Where are you from?
Carmen.
Carmen. Fantastic. When was the last time you had catastrophic diarrhea?
Long time ago.
Long time ago? You don't have it regularly?
No.
Oh, okay. How about your friend to the right? What's your name? Jeanette? Have you shit yourself anytime recently? No?
So that is like as good as it's gonna get is
right
talking
because it
to
sounds like you're salvaging
a tiny bit.
Yeah, but I hear a lot of a lot of like whispering and murmuring.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It sounds like there's a lot of rumors going
there's a lot of rumors. then here's a one of the heckles here. Somebody
heard
here.
You were a heckler.
I heard you were heckling.
Anytime, whenever you're ready.
There's this guy saying, get to the funny anytime, right?
Oh my gosh.
All right. Then, let's see. Oh yeah. This is when I insult, the dog people because I kind of blame them because they were fucking, it's their thing. And they were the ones who I had to be like, you shut the fuck. That's what started this all. And I was like, will you shut the fuck
yeah.
up?
Yeah.
I don't have kids, sir. I have a dog. I was trying to tell the dog assholes about it, but they didn't want to hear it.
Hey, I'm not Michael Vick here.
You're not Michael Vick? What? What does that mean?
Dog ass.
Have him thrown out.
Come on.
All right.
Sounds amazing.
It's pretty crazy. We're getting to the... Okay, so that is... yeah, that was part of me talking to people. I was like asking people, and this guy's like, do you have any kids? And I go, I don't have any kids. I have a dog. I was trying to tell these dog assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, and then all the booing. This is the big, big boo here. This is at a live show.
It has gone down.
Clark, get him off there.
So right there, the guy comes up. That's the manager, and he goes, "Do you want me to bring the guy back up, the middle act?" And I'm like,
"No, you should throw out the table that's being a bunch of douchebags."
Right. I go, "No," and he goes, "You sure?" And I go, "Yeah," because he sees like this is a fucking debacle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, "No."
Well, he doesn't want to walk a table of 15.
At this point, it would be a table of fucking...
Right, but initially, yeah. He could have lost a table of 15. That's a lot of money, you guys, as opposed to protecting the comedian.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you're my husband, and the fact that people are fucking booing you right now... I want to murder every one of these cocksuckers in this fucking room right now.
It's all fucking...
Buy a ticket to Winnipeg and punch out every one of these assholes.
But I do... One of the things I was thinking about when I was trying to be also critical of myself is I really was, you know, when you leave a show, not a show like this, a regular show, and you go, "Oh, when that guy said something, I wish I would have said this." Like you come up with your
better comeback.
Yeah, you're like, "Oh, I wish I had a comeback." I listened to this tape and I was like, "I wish I had bombed funnier." Like I wish I had been funnier
as I was going down
in flame. Because when you look back at it, you go, "I could have said this here." And I could have said, you know what I mean? Like you look at
really
it,
really embraced it.
Yeah, yeah. You look at it as an opportunity. You're like, I could have been funny, during these moments. But I did do one funny thing, and that is that when he came, this is the manager talking to me, and he's telling me, he's like, "You know, do you want me to bring back the guy?" And I'm like, "No." And they're all screaming because they think he's like kicking me off the stage.
Right.
So when he leaves. I go, I'm going to play it for you here, but I'm like, he asked me if you guys wanted the other guy, and I told him, "No, you want more of me." Like that. And they are like, "Bah." Like, bah. They get so upset about
bah.
It.
Short drops.
They asked me, "No." He asked me if you wanted the black guy, but I told you guys didn't want that.
Yeah.
So I figured I'd just give you more of this shit.
Are you high?
I wish. So anyway. Let's see.
I mean, can you believe how loud it is in there?
No, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, that one was just...
I think I've done shows in Afghanistan that were quieter than that.
Yeah.
With wars going on. This is bad. I just had a woman in Jacksonville. I did a fallout week for Tom Green, and she didn't like me. So on her way out, she goes, "I wish this was Tom Green." And I was like, "I wish Tom Green was here too, bitch. Because this is a fucking terrible show." Like,
it's so bad.
What can you do? You know?
It's
the worst. They're the worst human beings that come to
one thing I started to do that was kind of fun for me was when I knew, like, at this point, it's not like, "Hey, how can I get them back?" It's just like,
it's gone.
Yeah, it's just like kill time. So I started to go, you know, when you have jokes that are like a couple of years, like you haven't said them in a few years.
Right.
So you kind of don't remember how to say them.
Right.
I started to do that with my jokes from like my first album from Thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, how does that joke go? I was saying this into the microphone. I go,
your stream of consciousness.
Yeah, I was like, it goes, I was watching the show and the guy won the biggest lottery ever. It was 300, and you can just hear them all talking throughout, like they I'm staring at a light. There's a light on the ceiling. I'm just like talking to the light. I'm like, yeah. And I walked in and I go, "Hey man," and I was like, the guy, he no longer had teeth. And I was like, man, if I had $350 million, I'd buy other people teeth. And I'm just saying, and they're just like, this guy's just gonna keep fucking talking. Like, that's why that girl's like, "Are you fucking high?" Because I go, well, I just have to get through this. Then the next component here, and we're almost done with this, is the lady who runs the fundraiser comes with the manager on stage to plead with the people. And I can tell that like she's been crying.
Because
like, you know, she's a dog rescue lady. No. She's probably a sweet lady, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, this will be a fun night. And she's seen her special event go to this, you know?
Can I have everybody's attention, please?
At this point.
Okay. You know what? We're holding a fundraiser here, and I realize things have kind of got a little shaky here.
Yeah.
Can we please give him the respect?
Yes.
You know what? I hold a lot of fundraisers here for Animal Rescue. Let's tough out the rest of this night. I do not want this to end on a bad note. We have made a lot of money for a senior canine rescue. Okay, I'm sorry this is the way it is. But there are people that have paid good money that are trying to listen to his show. And I just don't want this to end on a bad note. That's not my decision. But you know what? There are other rescues that are riding on this. I really, really want to be able to do another show. Thank you.
Give a show of hands.
Let me do this. No. Wait. I'll do this. Wait. Just give me one second. Just give me a second. Just shut up.
At that point, I'm like, this thing is obviously so bad.
Yeah.
And I could have just kept doing what I was doing, but I think I felt bad for her. Like, it wasn't even...
She sounded
like,
mortified.
She's mortified.
Man.
And she's talking about her rescue, and I go, like, what do I get out of this? I felt bad for her. So I go, I'll bring the guy back.
It's time to call it quits.
Yeah, throw in the towel. This is
let them have what they want.
Right. So I bring back
Trix. How do you spell that? Is it T-R-I-X?
Or two X's.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
T-R-I. Here's me bring. Listen.
Just hold on a second. For the love of Christ, shut up.
Let the guy talk.
Just a second.
You don't even let me say it.
I swear to you, this will make you happy. This will make you. Just leave. No.
Just say it.
I'm going to say it. Because she came up here, and she obviously, that's heartfelt from her. I want her to have a good fundraiser and a good time. So I'm going to give you the best news right now for you and for her and for your fundraiser. I'm going to bring up the Black Eye Trips.
The Black Eye Trips.
Oh, happy day.
Crazy, right? Like, I was the worst thing they had ever laid eyes on. But just to show you that I didn't lose my sense of humor, and neither did Ty, who is the manager there, I get off stage, I walk, he goes, I'm like, whoa, man. Hey, he's like, how many CDs do you want to set up tonight?
That's rad.
Just take it down.
You want to chill over here? How many CDs were sold?
I think we just set up the remaining three.
Fuck.
I'm like, we just set up the remaining three.
Oh,
those will sell. So that was the bomb of bombs, man. I've never had I've had shows eat shit, but I've never had an audience just their only desire is for you to leave. I've never had that before.
That is a first. Yeah, I don't think I've ever had that either.
Yeah, but you know what's really interesting about this bomb? And this is only something that I think maybe comedians can understand. For some reason, and like even I was talking to you afterwards, and you're like, you really don't sound like that distraught. For some reason, because they were so outrageous, it wasn't like a kind of bomb where you're like really trying and no one will laugh. You know, like a listening audience bombing.
It's different. It's just that would be your failure as a funny person.
Right.
But in this case, they didn't even give you the chance.
Right.
To have your act.
Yeah, they were like, it was because they were so outrageous, it didn't feel the same. Like, when I bomb, like, let's say everyone's watching you and your jokes aren't hitting, you always sweat, right?
Yes.
And sweat. I didn't have one single bead of sweat on me.
Yeah,
because
it wasn't
show.
About you.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't sound like it.
It was like, it was almost as if I went up after chaos started.
Yes.
That's what it started to feel like.
You came up, you may have come up, because when the headliner gets up there, it's the tipping point of drunk.
Yeah.
For the crowd. Yeah. They're on drink three by the time you get up there. So that guy in the front probably came in lit, which a lot of people do. So he's already on his second or third beer or whatever, Labatt's or whatever the fuck he's drinking.
Yep.
And he made you his target. He had to flex in front of all the girls at the table or whatever. Mm-hmm, he's threatened by you. He wasn't threatened by Trix with two X's. Or maybe he was afraid of Trix. I don't know. Because they seem to be pretty free with their racism. Like, hey, bring the black up. You're like, whoa. But it sounds like you just got, you rode a bad wave.
Yeah.
You got a bad wave. And there's nothing you can do when the crowd's against you from the jump. It's very hard.
It's very hard.
I mean, look at that famous Bill Burr bomb in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That happened to him years ago, which is infamous. If you Google Bill Burr bombing in Philadelphia, it's probably one of the funniest bombs of
and
all time.
And that's also like when I talk about like be funny or bombing, like...
Now you know, though. But
I knew about that then, but I'm saying I think I could have done so many different things. You know, that's the thing is you try to go how... Not just blame them, not just blame the club.
Right.
I accept blame, but I also go like, oh, you had, like when I listen back to it, I go, you had so many opportunities to, maybe it would, I'm not saying I would have won them over, but it would have been funnier.
I think in this situation, like if it happened to me, I'd be so startled.
Yeah.
Because it really was I hear what's happening as a comic. Yeah. I know it. And you're like, what? Like, it's so unbelievable as it's happening.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have the wherewithal to go, and to transcend it and kind of look at it from up top.
Yeah.
You can't, because this was so absurd.
My only moment of clarity really was when I said to them, he asked me if you wanted me to bring him back. And I told him, no, you want more of me.
Right. Like,
that was fun because I could see how disappointed they were. Right. But like I look back on it and I go, oh, you could do funnier shit next time.
Well,
actually, I also think that I will never have it quite that situation like that.
No, I don't think you will.
A couple comics that I talked to, I was telling about, they were like, you'll definitely never experience that again.
You think that's your one? Mitch Vaitel told me years ago, he goes, Christina, there's just a certain number of bombs. Mm-hmm. And you just got to get them out of the way.
Yeah.
So maybe this is your booing off stage.
Yeah. The one of the girls has worked there 20 years. 20 years. And she goes, we've never seen anything like that before. I mean, so she's been working there longer than I've been doing it. She's like, never seen
it. It's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing.
You know, stand-up comedy is really the only art form where the audience feels, number one, adversarial towards you. If they're not already a fan, if someone coming in that room doesn't already love you and know you, it's adversarial in nature.
Yeah.
Fuck you, asshole. Make me laugh.
Yeah.
And it's the only art form, truly, I believe, where people become personally offended by the person who's trying to make them laugh. Of all things, we're trying to bring mirth.
Yeah.
And joy, and somebody's reaction could be hatred, is to me like...
It's interesting, right?
It's bonkers.
Do you know why, though? Like, one of the things about life is that you are only an expert in certain things.
Right.
You know, it might be in your field of work. It may be something that's a hobby, something that you've studied. You have credibility.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about comedy is everybody has credibility on what they find funny.
Right.
So it's really one of those few things where you get to go, you're not funny to somebody, and you're right.
In a sense,
in a sense, you're right. You get to be like,
for them, you're not funny.
Yeah.
Not objectively unfunny.
Right.
Even a singer. I mean, I can't think of a band that I've ever seen booed. Have you? I'm sure it's happened. Don't fucking send me the emails. You never heard of the band?
Yeah.
You got booed? Like, I get it. I'm just saying I personally haven't seen it or heard of it.
I did, by the way, I did a show 30 minutes after this.
Right.
That's
amazing.
Room.
Well, good for you. And was it better?
A million times
back
better.
On the horse.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that it was so immediate. And some of the people there had heard about it because it was all over Twitter.
Yeah.
But it was a totally normal show. The second show was
funny.
Like, you know, like a great,
so
yeah,
ridiculous.
Just a fun show. It was so crazy that we had to go through the one before. I do think about, you start thinking about like your all-time bombs.
Oh, boy. I mean,
this was the craziest one,
where do we
but begin? I've suffered more emotionally at other bombs.
Yes.
The worst bomb that I can think of is actually worse than that bomb in the sense of how I felt.
Yes.
And that was when
you tried.
Right. When I was middling for Bert. in Sacramento. And I ate shit from the first joke to the last joke.
Of course, yeah.
And was pouring sweat. When I was talking, sweat was spraying out of my mouth. And the worst part was that was show number one on a Friday.
Oh, no.
Show number two Friday. I go, it can't go like that. It goes exactly the same way. And I'm like, this is the worst shit I've ever experienced. And I still remember that I went back the next, I mean, Bert saw, he was like, God damn, you ate shit. Like, I've never seen. And he was like, dude, can I just tell you one thing? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes,
Bert always knows what to say to make you feel better. Huh?
I mean, Bert was laughing so hard as I was bombing. I could hear him back, oh my God, he's eating shit. But
by the way, comics love when other comics
bomb.
Yeah. There's no greater joy.
But see, they wouldn't.
From the back of the room when you hear them laugh. That's why you hear comics laughing when other comic is bombing.
Oh, yeah.
We love it because we're like, oh, yeah. It's one for the vaults. Like,
yeah, it's great.
Happens to all. Nobody is immune from bombing. Just so you know, watch the documentary Comedian with Jerry Seinfeld. He'll talk about bombing. Seinfeld fucking bombs. So
yeah. No, everybody bombs.
Everybody bombs.
I mean, I still remember when I didn't know that when I was talking to somebody about it, and they're like, oh, I just saw Chris Rock bomb.
Of course.
At the improv or something. I was like, really? And they were like, yeah.
Of course.
But anyways, the best advice that Bert gave me for that situation was I was about to do the same thing again Saturday night. And he goes, just open with a different joke. That was a crazy fart. And he's just like, oh my God. That registered on the sound recorder.
That wasn't me. That was the dog.
He goes, just open with a different joke. And I open with a different joke and it completely changed my set.
Did it? And did that work for you?
100%.
And then did you juggle your nuts for the rest of the 30 minutes or 29 minutes?
What do you mean?
Because I had the same advice given to me.
No, the whole set went amazing.
Oh, okay. Because I had the bomb of one of the worst in my career. I was opening for Lana Turner and we were doing, Lana Turner is Ralphie Mae's wife. For those of you who don't know, she plays like funny songs on a guitar, and she and I did a triple run, which is a series of gigs.
Infamous in the comedy world.
Yeah. If you want to become a comedian, you do a triple run because it gives you fucking balls of steel. You're essentially doing dive.
It's also paying penance, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Let me set it up for our listeners. It's awesome. You do a bunch of one-nighters that are about 8 hours of driving apart every day. You make barely enough to cover your gas, and you stay in hotels that are really dicey. Like Lana and I, the booker triple wanted to put us in a hotel that was shut down for prostitution the week before.
Nice.
So that's the triple run. And I remember doing a biker bar in, I think it was Idaho. And this is my first time featuring ever. And I had really great, you know, clever jokes about philosophy and Nietzsche and stuff. Like, and these bikers, they're nice enough, but not having it. Not having me, I didn't know how to do it. And I just ate shit the whole fucking time. And then Ralphie told Lana to tell me for advice to do my closing joke first.
Uh-huh.
I tried that same method. So yeah. I did great for the first 2 minutes. And then I ate digs for the next
time. Oh, really?
It didn't work at all for me.
I was trying something, this particular bombing, the one in Sacramento. I was doing something where I was opening on a new joke that not only was new, but was very unlikable.
Mm.
And
that can start it off.
So I was just starting at a deficit.
Yeah.
So he wasn't telling me, take your last joke, put it first. He was just like, open with a different joke. And so all I did was open with a different joke and then kept everything the same minus that harsh joke.
Right.
It was a different world.
That's the truth, because they don't know you yet. So if you come out with raping babies and AIDS and stuff,
and I wasn't
like,
good enough to support that
joke. You can't do it yet. Now you can. Now you can
now
be
like,
what's up,
it.
Faggot, motherfucking eat my shit.
Yeah.
And then you can recover. But that's... wait, can I tell you before we move on? This reminds me of a wonderful story Mitch Fatel told me. I bombed in front of Mitch Fatel back in 04, 05, Mitch specifically had come out to watch me to possibly open for him on this tour, right? And so this is like my big shot. It's the 10 o'clock show at Irvine. Frank Kelly, who was also the manager there at the time, was going to watch me. This is before I'd done any of the big clubs. So this is a big shot for me. 10 o'clock show, Comedy Juice, comedy for drunk college kids. I do a spot. They're so unruly and so drunk. I don't know how to handle it. They are totally overpowering me and all, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I eat shit so hard, just sweat and eat shit, sweat and eat shit. And I go up to Mitch and he goes, you know, Christina, some shows that you're just going to bomb, like that thing, there's a certain number. And he told me this great story about when he did colleges, he would eat shit for the entire hour that he would do colleges because they're a younger demographic and they didn't really get his act, but the pay is great. So he says, I used to put a watch in my pocket, like a stopwatch, and I would just set it to 45 minutes. And every time I would get sweat and I would fucking panic and hate what I was doing, I would just pat my pocket knowing that the clock was winding down and I only had 45 minutes to go. And some nights, boy, you'll see me fucking, you know, patting the metaphorical pocket.
Yeah. Like,
which time do I have on this?
Fuck. Dude, in this Winnipeg bombing, is my phone is sitting on the stool. That's why this is recorded, right? I was recording this show. And by the way, it's a great reason why you should record all your shows.
Yes. So
you get to relive moments like these. But I picked it up. I remember when I was like, this is really going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at it and it said 14.
Oh my God. Like,
oh shit. There's a lot more to go.
But can I tell you though, for those listening, this isn't just for stand up. I think the best lesson of being a stand up comedian, at least for me, and I'd never learned this lesson in life anywhere else, is that failure is it's so woven into the fabric of what we do that failure doesn't, it still phases me. I don't want to say it doesn't phase me, but I'm so much more resilient because of falling down. And then guess what? 30 minutes later, you're gonna have to fucking do it again.
Yeah, you gotta do it again.
And I think probably in sports, you learn that, right? Like in football.
Fall down, get back up. Yeah.
But if that isn't the best metaphor for life, is stand-up comedy, to get up and do it again and do it again and do it again.
And actually, you know, you do learn things from your shit shows. So
sometimes more.
Yes, definitely. So the experience, you know, I also, people are really sweet, and we have a lot of really sweet listeners and people that follow me on Twitter, like, especially in that area, we're like apologizing for the people, for the city. And like, I wanted to make a point then, I was, you know, responding to them, and I make it now, is that like, I don't blame the city of Winnipeg or the club or anybody. This is just one of those things that, you know, out of
I blame the club. I'll go ahead and blame the club. Well, I don't do rumors in Winnipeg. I don't give a shit.
All right. Out of 1,000 plus shows, you know, I've never, like, it's just one of those things that just happened. And I personally want to say that, like, I don't hold any ill will towards the city, towards rumors, or anybody there. I really don't. I want them to know that it's not, there's no hard feelings. And that's just, it's important for me to get that out there.
I hear you, Jeans.
One other thing, because what was it? We were in Canada. This is where this took place. There's some. Just one more. You remember we played the audio from Rob Ford?
Yes.
The crack.
What are those questions?
Do you smoke crack cocaine?
Exactly. Yes, I have smoked crack cocaine.
Good answer.
No, do I? Am I an addict? No.
When have you?
Have I tried it? Probably in one of my drunken stupors, probably approximately about a year ago. I answered your question. You asked the question properly, I'll answer it.
How many
times? I've made mistakes. All I can do now is apologize and move on.
All right, so that was him a week or so ago. This was just a few days ago. If you didn't catch this, it is phenomenal. This is a live on television with reporters swarming him. Let's see. Oh, God. Every time I pull up one of these things and I'll set it up.
The YouTube commercial?
This isn't even YouTube. It's like from a different thing, and it still has
the, you know, what's really neat about those commercials before videos?
Here we go.
The last thing was Olivia Gondek. It says that I wanted to eat her pussy, Olivia Gondek. I've never said that in my life tour. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home. Thank you very much.
Best mayor ever.
Is that it's so amazing, right?
I love that in Canada you can say that kind of stuff.
I don't think they were cool with it.
Oh, really?
He had to do a follow-up press conference just a couple hours later.
I don't know why. I thought that was totally appropriate.
I'm happy married. I got plenty to eat at home.
Yeah, that's fucking great.
Wait, now you were saying you don't like those sponsor commercials to play before videos? Why not?
I'm saying that it's probably the least effective form of advertising because I just mute the shit out of
it. Yeah, you mute it? I know.
Never fucking watch them.
Listen, this is, so he walks out. They're just swarming. Listen to, this is the reporter, one of the reporters who happened to be there that just caught him saying that. Just again, let's hear it one more time. It's so good.
Olivia Gondak, it says that I wanted to eat her pussy. Olivia Gondak, I've never said that in my life to her. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home. Thank you very much.
Listen to this reporter.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right.
She cannot.
It's all right. Oh
my God. I know we're up live right now, but I don't know if we can. Mayor Ford speaking as Mayor Ford does very plainly, as he said in council yesterday, he effed up, and now using language that I don't think we can broadcast that on TV, but we just broadcast that on TV. Another unbelievable day here at Toronto City Council as Mayor Ford speaks to the media for the first time since those new allegations came forward.
And then yesterday, he just was at City Council, and the camera's following him. It's like there's people walking around, and he just runs. He's like, oh, he's running towards somebody. He charges somebody, knocks over a lady, then picks her up. Mm-hmm. Then he starts walking.
And he eats her pussy.
And he eats her pussy from behind. And then his brother's like, hey, what's up, man? Like, it's the best thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
So what's going on with him?
I think they were voting to take power away from him. You know, they're asking him to resign. He wouldn't resign.
No, please, no.
I think some of his power has been taken away. But he's still in office, as far as I know, right now. I mean, it's
drugs. What do you think? Is he smoking too much rock?
He's just out of control. I mean, he's so,
so
out of
funny.
Control.
I really wish our politicians would speak plainly. I really can't stand this. I don't know why people are so offended about eating pussy. What's the big deal?
I mean, yeah, you don't usually hear mayors of major cities say
that. Why not? But he says it behind closed doors, doesn't he?
That was a press conference.
No, but I'm saying that what's the difference between saying something in public versus saying it in the privacy of your own home? I feel like society, this isn't, you know, the 1800s. This isn't the Victorian era. Like, we're grown-ups now. You can say anything on the internet. You can say anything. I don't know what the big deal is. Come on.
Don't you want
your mayor to eat pussy?
Oh, he was on the Today Show. You want to hear this?
Of course.
He was on the Today Show. I didn't know that. Awesome. So I guess he went on maybe this morning. That's phenomenal. I love that. The mayor there made his way down to do the Today Show. That's fucking amazing. That he is so big now that we are airing him on our biggest morning show.
Wow. We were with Mayor Rob Ford of Toronto just a couple of hours after the city council there stripped him of his staff, of his budget, and most of his power. And if you think he's backing down, he is gearing up for a long fight.
So he told you he's not going anywhere.
No, he's waiting. He's going to run for re-election. He's vowing to stick around. That is our top story this morning. For 2 weeks now, Mayor Ford has been under fire after his admitted use of crack cocaine. And during that chaotic meeting, he even almost knocked over a city councilwoman. We traveled to Toronto last night to talk to the mayor and his brother, Councilman Doug Ford.
You said as we were sitting down, you said what happened in city council chambers is unprecedented. It's never happened before. What went on in there?
They basically took away 383,000 people who voted for me, their rights.
You have brought disgrace to this office, and you know that's true.
I've embarrassed not just myself, my family, my friends, my supporters, the whole city. I take full responsibility for that. We've all made mistakes, Matt. I'm not perfect. Maybe you are. Maybe other people are.
That's one of the big, great PR moves. When you really fuck up, you go, I'm not perfect. Maybe you are.
Matt.
Yeah.
You can use his first name.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
I've made mistakes. I admitted to my mistakes.
When the questions began to circulate around you, Mr. Mayor, and people started to ask you about the use of crack cocaine, you played a game of semantics. They asked you, were you a crack addict, according to you, and you said, no.
I'm not. And they said, do you use crack cocaine? No, I don't use crack cocaine. No. Have I tried crack cocaine? Yes, I've tried crack cocaine.
That's a game of semantics. And the best excuse I heard you give for using that crack cocaine was I was in a drunken stupor. And I'm wondering, is that supposed to make anybody feel better?
No, not at all. But show me the video, even according.
What again, does the video matter?
Because I want to see it, because according, I can't even remember it. I was very, very inebriated.
But I just want to make sure we all understand. You're not in any alcohol treatment program?
No.
I'm not in any drug treatment
program. I have a weight issue. I've been training every day. All I can say, Matt, action speaks louder than words.
There you go.
I invite you to come back. Give me five or 6 months. And if you don't see a difference, I'll eat my word.
It's very simple. Show me any mayor in North America right this second that has done what he has done. He saved the taxpayers $1 billion.
Councilman, I would expect you to sit here and defend your brother.
I'm telling you facts.
I know. I think it's loyal, and I think it's wonderful.
I'm telling you facts.
Have you ever been worried about him?
Yeah, his weight issues, when he goes on a binge, when he goes on a, if you want to call it, a binge drinking, and I hear about it, yeah, it's concerning. Do I know, on a personal side, has Rob been 100% honest? No, he hasn't.
Your brother brings up something interesting, Mr. Mayor, because he says you go out on a weekend and you maybe go on a little binge every once in a while.
Every weekend.
Not every weekend.
I said every once in a while.
Let's retract that.
I said, your brother said you go out on a weekend, you may go on a binge every once in a while. Not every weekend.
Absolutely.
Let's say you go on one of those binges and the phone rings in your office at 3 a.m. on a Saturday night and something terrible's happened in the city of Toronto. Terrorist attack, some other kind of disaster. Are you equipped?
I'm very
Will you be capable and stable enough to handle it?
I'm very fortunate that hasn't happened. It's very few isolated incidents that it's happened. You're absolutely right. I'm very fortunate that hasn't happened.
Oh. Well, you can just do a rail a blow and then get back up.
Yeah, I think he would be awesome to watch.
You know, it's funny. I think there was somebody that said this about the Clinton scandal when we had it. I forget who was brilliant. It was a brilliant thought, though, that had Clinton just told the truth, had he just been like, yeah, well, you know, Monica fucking blew me and I jizzed on her dress and not finger banged her, you know, had he just come clean, it would have washed away a lot sooner. As with every scandal, just come clean quick and then it hopefully washes. But just the semantics and the backpedaling, blah, blah.
Yeah, when you do that, it just, it always gets you in trouble, right?
Like
you
can't.
You can't get away with it, man.
I like where he's like, I was very inebriated. It's kind of a worse answer,
very,
though.
Very, very inebriated.
Tried crack? Well, once when I was really hammered.
I know. Like, and you're like, how are you going to blame me for what I do when I'm drunk? That's what that is.
I mean, you know I get fucked up.
And by the way, I'm not perfect. Maybe you are, Matt.
Matt.
Christina.
Matt Lauer.
Maybe you are. But I'm not.
Right, right.
I'm not going to go out here and act like I'm perfect. You kind of.
He shifts the blame to the perfect person. So now it's Matt's fault because he's not a fall down drunk.
Brother, you've never seen me like that. You think so, brother? But when I lay down, I'll rip his throat out. I'll pull his eyes out.
That's also him right there.
Food.
All right, we got to wrap this shit up, man.
Okay. What a day.
What a day. You got to hear the bomb of bombs.
What a day. Thank God the FIFA is here to make it better. Come here, Fufu.
All I wanted was FIFA.
Oh, the Fufu.
And I was chewing those nuts on stage. I just wanted FIFA to be here. Tell me everything's going
to
be all right.
Well, what would he say to you?
Time. Fuck these bitches, man.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Better than this shit.
You're better than this shit.
You don't need these motherfuckers. Say something funny, motherfucker. Old ass motherfucker talking shit to you, dog assholes. Rescue my nuts.
You think he would say that to them?
I think he would just.
Fuck y'all, motherfuckers.
Like, don't talk to my dad like that. Absolutely.
Dad.
Mm-hmm. It's my motherfucking dad, man. My motherfucking dad.
Yeah. Fuck those assholes. I'm so mad that they're booing you. It makes me so angry.
It's
I don't
crazy.
Like people fucking with you. I don't like nobody fucking with you, boo.
Why are you fucking with me? All right.
Aw, it's Fifo's song.
Fifo's song.
Yay.
That's for you, Fifo. All right. Bye, guys. Thanks for listening to the show. Please go to your mom's house podcast.com. And also, don't forget, if you're in the Pasadena area Friday, come see us do the show live. Bye.
Bye.